3:05, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. It is Monday afternoon. It is absolutely glorious. And, wow, yet another screw-up by the city of Richmond. Hold on a second. No, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I've got my shocked face around here somewhere. Where the heck did I put it? Well, I don't know. I got it around here somewhere. I'll find it, and then I promise, as soon as I can, I will put it on, and I will, I'll act shocked and surprised. Okay, all right. Well, yeah, you got a tax bill, and your taxes, if they're not paid by, what is it, June 16th, then terrible things will happen to you. And the city says, hey, good luck. Sorry. What did Dr. Donnie say? Dr. Donnie of Woolley? He's not really new anymore, mayor, but I mean, he's newish. And it's funny, he doesn't look newish. But anyway, he's newish. And yeah, so you'll have to call your mortgage company. Okay. Because everybody knows how that's a very enjoyable, very easy thing to do. Very easy. Get through to the right people. Now, perhaps some folks who are involved with, say, local lenders. Virginia Credit Union comes to mind. It's all local. I got to figure that they're aware of the situation, so probably be somewhat more receptive. But if your lender is in California, it might be a problem. But not to worry. Dr. Donnie is on the job. I can breathe a sigh of relief. I was listening. First of all, Charles, thank you. Welcome back. Charles Pyle, our afternoon news reporter and anchor and all-around decent human being. So we're happy to have him back. He was conspicuous by his absence for a week. But he has returned and reporting on the absolute gall and temerity of the woefully, grossly incompetent superintendent of the Richmond Public Schools and the equally as incompetent chair of the Richmond School Board saying, oh, it's time for state oversight to end. I got news for you. It's time for state oversight to double down and run the damn school system and kick you people out of the way. Because you, Mr. Superintendent, have failed those students. I mean, this is just barely short of child abuse, isn't it? And the rotating cast of characters on the Richmond School Board, the Board of Education, look, you folks could not run a pencil sharpener, let alone an entire school system. It's embarrassing. Less than 50% of the children in that system are able to read and write. Where's the improvement?
Well, you know, it used to be even lower.
Okay, well, how about this? How about you circle back once you get past the 50% point? Maybe that's when you can have a conversation. Hey, look, it's a 50-50 shot whether the kid graduates knowing how to read and write. Well, all right. Yeah, you can roll the dice on that one, right? Because you don't really care about the kids. That's become abundantly clear, RPS. But then what? No, nonsense. Release from state oversight, forget about it. I'm telling you, they should eliminate any and all responsibility of the Board of Education and this grossly incompetent excuse for a school superintendent. Get them both out of there. Get them all out of the way. Somebody somewhere should actually pretend that they care about those children. I mean, it's not going to happen. I know. No, I know it's not going to happen. And that's besides the point. I'm allowed to share with people exactly what I'm thinking. Oh, you're allowed to share with me as well. The James River Air text line is always available to you. 833-804-1140. 833-804-1140. All right, shoot me a note over there. Was anybody following our pal John Reed's social media over the weekend? It was interesting to me. No, I'm a big supporter of John's campaign now for lieutenant governor. Obviously, right? You're not surprised by that. Good. But what I will tell you is that a local TV news reader was busy attacking John on John's social media page, and I thought, I thought you guys were supposed to be, like, impartial, you know? You just read the teleprompter, read the news that's presented to you, and then go away. You're not, I mean, are you a reporter? I don't know. And if you are, at least in theory, a reporter, this makes it even worse. But when you're busy attacking somebody and it's all based on your own personal left-wing agenda, that's awful. And it would be equally as wrong if you were in that role and you were attacking somebody based on your right-wing agenda. It really is just inexcusable. And I'd have to think that the news director, I assume they have a news director there. But if that's the case, where's the news director? Sure, the news director say, hey, you can still sit here and read the news. That's great. But you got to stop going after people based on your political point of view. You're not supposed to share that. You can have it. I don't think there's anybody here who says, oh, my God, you're not entitled to your opinion. And hell, at this point, everybody knows what your opinion is. But just for appearance's sake, aren't you supposed to pretend at least that you're impartial or not advancing one particular team over the other? A guy like Shapiro, the Times-Dispatch, who is retiring, he's allowed to do that. He is an unapologetic leftist. And he's allowed to be an unapologetic leftist because he's a columnist, right? He's an opinion guy. Now, maybe you don't like his opinion. That's irrelevant. But he's an opinion guy. So he can write his columns based on his opinion. And you could say, my God, I really agree with this opinion, or, oh, I hate this opinion. Totally up to you. But as an opinion writer, he's allowed to do that. In fact, if he didn't do that, his bosses over there would probably say, you got to step it up a little bit. You're here for your opinion. You're a columnist. If you're a reporter, once again, more than entitled to have your opinion. You're absolutely positively allowed to read and believe and say whatever you want in your private life. But in your role as a reporter, you got to put it aside, at least for the sake of the reporting, so that somebody reading your piece says, well, those are the facts. Here they are. Who, what, when, where, why, how. Yeah, okay. I don't get any sense from the reporter what his or her personal opinion is. That's the way that's supposed to work. So when you have somebody in that role and they're so active, and I mean actively attacking and demeaning and insulting John, now maybe I'm more sensitive to it because John's a friend and I like John and all that other good stuff, perhaps. And I'm not really familiar with the guy, but I just thought, man, that's just totally out of line and totally out of place. While I'm busy telling you what you shouldn't do, please, nobody say Happy Memorial Day. Jerm, you know this, every year. I don't know how many years you've been with me now. Is it 2 years, 3 years, 12? I don't know, whatever it is. Jeremy is a real live boy, just like Pinocchio. I'm telling you, he really does exist. There's a photo, actually, when he came here to Casa Cats a couple of weeks ago. We had a very important staff meeting here at the house, which involved, Jeremy and Pixie. Oh, and me. Yeah, I was there. I was serving drinks, but nonetheless, I was there. And we did have a very important staff meeting. And we discussed staffing requirements and kibbles as well as bits and tonic water versus sparkling club soda. So, yeah, I mean, it was very important. But we did take a picture. And Jeremy is in that picture. Now, I don't know where it is at this point. I did post it. He gave me full permission. I have the signed release and everything. So it's up there. If you're with me on Facebook, you can go scrolling back. It's what, about 2 weeks ago, Jerm, I think? I think it was about 2 weeks ago you came up here. And, yeah, so you can go and see it. So you can see. I'm not lying to you. Jeremy really, really, really does exist. Oh, I know what it was. Yeah, Jeremy was talking about the nominations for the Best of Richmond This here little show, once again in the running for Best Afternoon Radio Show. Now, I need as many nominations as possible to make sure we make it onto the ballot. So if you haven't yet, would you do me a favor? Visit this website, go.richmond.com/the best, go.richmond.com/the best, and simply nominate The Jeff Katz Show as the best afternoon radio show. In addition to that, we were nominated in two other categories, which were a little shocking, but I'll tell you what they were. Number one, The Jeff Katz Show was nominated as the best place to work. And given that it's me, Jeremy, and Pixie, and I know I didn't nominate us, and Pixie has no thumbs, but I digress. And what was the other one? We were... The Jeff Katz Show also nominated as the best OBGYN practice in all of Central Virginia. And once again, I can tell you I was not involved in that nomination. So the only one I'm asking you for is Best Afternoon Radio Show. But yeah, if you go on to either the Jeff Katz Show on Facebook or Radio Katz on Facebook, you can scroll back and you can see an actual picture of an actual Jeremy right there on the actual page. It is 3:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 3:20, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Coming up at 3:35, my good friend and yours, Jimmy Galliano, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI. We gotta talk about James Comey. Apparently, James Comey was picked up by the Secret Service and taken to their Washington field office to have a chat. Good. Comey's a hack. Always has been. And he's just a miserable guy who keeps telling us he wants to go away and live in anonymity, but he won't go away, and he keeps destroying any efforts at anonymity. So, I mean, what are you going to do? But I do want to get Jimmy's sense on Comey's, I think, despicable 8647 crap. And also, did you see the interview? Was it on, I think it was CNBC, Maria Bartiromo? She had Kash Patel and Dan Bongino on. And they talked about a lot of stuff. And Kash Patel said, hey, number one, J. Edgar Hoover building, we're shutting it down. We're just going to shut it down. And we have 11,000, was it 11? I think he said 11,000 out of the 38,000 staff members. And they are all here in D.C., and they got to go. We got to send them back to the field. There's a reason we call them our field offices. Yeah. Yeah. Well, there you go. So they want to send the agents and apparently some other staff, because first Kash Patel said special agents, and then he was talking about staff, and the number did change. So I don't know what the final number is going to be or the way it's going to be assigned. Is it all FBI special agents? Is it intelligence analysts? Is it support staff? I don't know. But I want to talk with Jimmy about that. I mentioned this great little get-together. Did you or did you not attend the Vail event on Sunday, just yesterday? Virginia Law Enforcement Foundation. I'm going to tell you something. I just think the world of Keith Culver. And while he will tell you it's all the team effort, and I know there's a lot of people at Vail, but Keith has always been my guy. And somebody said to me, are you going this year? I said, I haven't missed one yet. And God willing, you know, I'm going to keep going until it just gets to a point that I can't. But it has grown so much, and I am so, so touched by the number of people that show up there. And it's so nice for me personally. Here's a little ego stroke, I guess. So many people who came up to me that, I got to be very honest, I don't know who they are. And I apologize. But they know who I am. And they know who I am in a good way, which is nice. And then, of course, some wonderful people that I do know. And it's always great to see so many of them. I did get to hang out with my best buddy, Emily Morrissey, for a little bit. At her tent, and Laura Sylvester and her husband Dave at their tent, the Pie Safe Bacon Company. Oh, and Cordelia from Cordelia's Lemonade. We're going to get everybody into the pool, you know what I mean? And then we had a little get-together. We were going to have the Morrisseys over, and then we I convinced Dave and Laura, hey, blow off this really important thing you're supposed to be doing for your business and just come hang out with us and eat and drink and, you know, not make any money that you would have made going there. And they said, oh, okay. So it was a great, great time. Hey, Jeff, was it John's enemy from Channel 12, that little hack Kurt, what's his name? Yeah, you can go on John's page. You'll see it there. It's just absolutely absurd crapola. But again, where's that news director? 325, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Monday. It is gorgeous. We got a couple of really nice days. Now, tomorrow, I know it's got rain all day. And then we've got partly sunny skies. We're only going to be like in the low 70s, man. And low humidity? Please. That's an absolute game ball right there. You take that one. Did you or did you not hear the news? I got a little giddy when I heard that the United States Secret Service actually helped bring James Comey, the former director of the FBI, to their Washington field office to sit down, have a cup of coffee, and chat just a little bit. Don't know where it's going, but my friend, your friend, Jimmy Galliano, a man who has truly dedicated his life to service, he's devoted his life to serving this country one way or another, an amazing human being. He's got a thought or two, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI. I'm so happy that Jimmy is joining us. Jimmy, thank you for being here, my friend.
Jeffrey, good to join you. I've been listening since 3 o'clock, and I got to tell you, I learned a lot about Jeremy. I learned a lot about Pixie and her non-opposable thumbs. I learned about Emily, all the folks that make your show great. I learned a lot about all of them.
Well, thank you. I include you in that. You have brought this show up a notch or 10. And
I don't know about that, Jeff, but I'm just happy to be a part-time part of the greatest show in Central Virginia. So thanks for having me.
Oh, you are too kind. All right. 8647. Allegedly, former director James Comey is walking down the beach, comes upon this, decides to post it, but no idea what it really means. Do tell, Jimmy. Do tell. What do you think?
Yeah, Jeff, you know, I always want to apply the benefit of the doubt to people. And I've been a critic of former Director Comey. Now, having said that, you know, there have been 9 Senate-confirmed FBI directors in the 117-year history of the Bureau. I served under 4 of them. Comey was the last one that I did before I retired in 2016. And, Jeff, you'll recall, I wasn't on your show back then, but you and I kind of had some passing interest. And back in 2017, I supported Director Comey. I was upset when he got relieved of his duties by then President Trump in his first term. And then reality kind of, you know, blew up the narrative. And the reality was the IG reports that came out, the fact that Director Comey had leaked memos to the New York Times, FBI memos, through a surrogate to the New York Times, through his attorney, which was even more cowardly. And then he just went on this crazy train kind of tour. And in 2018, I know you and I have spoken about it before, he was out at the Aspen Ideas Institute. He was being interviewed by Katie Couric, and she asked him point blank, what do you want your legacy to be? And I know, Jeff, he was promoting a book, you know, which came out then, A Higher Loyalty, and where he kind of defended all of his indefensible actions. And he said, I just want to be forgotten. Well, Jeff, I just want to be forgotten. Isn't the highest law enforcement official in the land, which the FBI director is, who is just skipping along a beach, Jeff, and finds a shell formation that spells out 8647. Now, you know, is this something where he's going to go to jail for? No. Is this something that, you know, we have freedom of speech and there, yes, you can interpret things in different ways, but for a former FBI director, a moralistic, sanctimonious, former FBI director to pretend not to know what 8-6 means. Yes, you can argue it means to be removed, but in the mob, it means take him out, you know, 8 miles out of the city, bury him 6 feet under. And for him not to know that or to pretend not to know that, Jeff, it's just BS. You always talk about bat crap crazy. That's exactly what that is. He knew that what he was doing, and I hate to say this, but he's got a new book, you know, coming out, and I don't want to help, you know, promote it. Right. But did he do this, Jeff, just to make a stir? Because you know the old saying in the media, there's no bad publicity when you're trying to get publicity, and that's, I think, what he did.
Well, Jimmy, it is so fascinating that all of these interviews or these spontaneous events, I just encounter these shells. My gosh, I mean, what a gift this is, occur as he is releasing yet another book telling you how much better he is than the rest of us. Right? Isn't that the undertone? You talked about sanctimonious. If this were just a regular guy and he were, I don't know, and he were a dope. He were really honestly a dope. Somebody who hadn't spent his life prosecuting, dealing with organized crime, director of the FBI, where you would know exactly what that meant. Maybe you could say, well, your whole career was in the restaurant industry. 86 means we're out of something. I don't know. Yeah, you were confused. But come on, man. He's just beyond the flipping pale.
Jeff, I've been speaking about this. I'm going to be writing about it shortly for a number of different outlets, and I get some pushback. And it's not just from the detractors and the trolls, because a lot of them exist out there, or even the partisans right. and the sycophants and the shills. I'm getting some pushback, and I say, look, I've been a law enforcement officer for 25 years of my life, and I might be embarrassed to admit it, I've been a politician. I understand the business of politics, and I understand the business of law enforcement. Yep. For this guy to pretend that he didn't understand this, and when people go, well, you know, he's attacking Trump, and you know, Trump is bad, he did this, and he did that, and I say, but the president is a politician. And I'm not excusing politicians, and I'm not suggesting that, you know, politicians don't have a standard that they're supposed to meet as well. And there are good politicians and bad politicians. Right. But James Comey was the senior law enforcement official in all the land. It's different. He knows better, and he's not trying to go away and be quiet and enjoy and embrace his anonymity, as he said in 2018. Yeah. He's looking for attention, and Jeff, it's just shameless.
All right, let's move on, because he's the former director. The current director, Kash Patel, the current deputy director, Dan Bongino, had, I thought, a really interesting sit-down with Maria Bartiromo over on CNBC. They talked about a lot of things, Jimmy. What sort of stood out to you?
Yeah, I watched that this weekend. It was at 10 o'clock. It was about a 40-minute interview. It had been pre-taped, Jeff. It had been taped, I think, on Wednesday or Thursday, and then it aired on Sunday. And I'll say this. You know, I've been agnostic, and I continue to hold out that, you know, I want to give the new administration, the new director and the new deputy director, an opportunity to kind of find their footing. And look, they broke some news. One of the things that they broke news on was the fact that they are looking to get out of the building on Pennsylvania Avenue, just down the street from the White House and just around the corner from the Department of Justice, the main justice building, and they're looking to find a new place to put folks. Yeah. The second is they're moving 1,500 agents and professional support personnel back out to the field. And gosh, Jeff, that has such a familiar ring to it, because when Director Louis Freeh took over in 1994, I remember it. The folks at headquarters were panicked because he sent like 600 FBI supervisors back out to the field. I think that's healthy. I think it's good. I think it sends the right message that, you know, as Director Patel pointed out, look, Washington, D.C. is crime, but we don't need a third of the workforce working in Washington, D.C. We need them out there in the 55 field divisions scattered across the United States. Jeff, I think that's a good thing. I think it's a healthy thing. And, you know, look, there were a number of other things that they brought up in that 40 minutes. And I'm encouraged. I'm hopeful, and we'll see what happens.
Okay, well, that's good. I think to take those agents, right? They're brick agents, and put them out in those field offices. There's a reason that it's called the field. And what about the new building, though? Because of course, this was a look. I think it's been, and you correct me, but it seems to have been a discussion almost from the time that the Hoover Building opened up. People are saying, yeah, it's outdated, right? Pretty soon after it went up, there was the scuttlebutt, as I understand it. And now, of course, everybody seems to agree it's not a 2025 building in any sense of the word. There has to be some movement. The mayor of D.C., Muriel Bowser, says, oh, no, you got to stay in the district. I think the president also said he'd like to see them stay in the district. Others are saying, well, you know, the Bureau has always wanted what the CIA got, you know, a farm about 50 miles out of town. They do what they want. Nobody asks them any questions. Where exactly do you think the FBI headquarters winds up when push comes to shove?
Great question. So the little bit of inside baseball here, Jeff, on the background. So, you know, J. Edgar Hoover ran the FBI from 1924 until 1972 when he passed away. And at that time, the new FBI headquarters was already underway. And I forget exactly, maybe it was 73, 74 when the Bureau moved into it. And look, you know me, I'm not an art guy, but it's a brutalist style building. It really is an eyesore. And I know it's iconic, and I know it's been there, again, you know, now approaching 50 years. But the building was built at a time where file storage was most important and paramount. And what do I mean by that? The FBI, what it does better than any other law enforcement entity is it has the ability to retrieve intelligence and information. And back in those days, Jeff, you had microfiche, but basically everything was in a manila folder and put inside a file cabinet and you needed the space. Mm-hmm. We don't need it anymore. Everything now is on a thumb drive. Everything now is in a computer folder. Everything now is in megabytes. You don't need that kind of space. So, look, could the FBI sell that property and move somewhere else? Well, they tried to under the last FBI director, and there were some issues, you know, determining where it was going to go. Does it stay inside the Beltway? Does it stay in D.C.? Should it move somewhere else?
Yeah.
Me personally, gun to my head, what do I think? Yes, I think it should remain in D.C. There are arguments where, hey, you could put it in Springfield. You could put it in, you know, in some place in Maryland. You know, you don't need to be that close. I like it close to the Justice Department. I like it close to the White House. But you don't need a building that size. And I think you could sell the property for probably $1 billion plus.
Wow.
And then find some other place where you've got a smaller footprint and push more of those agents out into the field and still get the same bang for the buck, Jeff. That's the world according to Jimmy Galliano.
Hey, according to the world of Jimmy Galliano, was Quantico close enough?
Yeah, so, you know, Quantico is, what, about 30 miles south on I-95.
Yeah.
Quantico, you know, people think that the FBI has their own property at Quantico. We don't. We are, you know, we rent basically from the United States Marine Corps. We're there, you know, the courtesy of the Marines to allow us to be there. The DEA also has their academy as well.
Yep.
I would hope that stays there. I can't imagine finding any other place or any other facility that could serve the needs of the FBI and the DEA like Quantico does. So they should stay there, and then the FBI should find a place somewhere with inside the Beltway, maybe someplace cheaper and smaller, and make this work.
Fair enough. All right. Now, I don't have the connection, obviously, that you do to the Hoover Building or to the Bureau. But one of the things that has struck me every time I've been there, and I've been fortunate enough to visit, is that firing range, that range, watching guys qualify, sitting basically in a theater with this huge glass picture window. I just find that amazing. I'm hoping that is reproduced, recreated, wherever it is that the Bureau goes. Let me ask you about the Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund, my friend. And I have to remind everybody, Jimmy Galliano is joining us. Jimmy is an amazing guy, great man, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI. He's also on the board of directors for the Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund, which is needed. I'm sorry to say, but it's needed. Jimmy, explain to everybody why it's needed and how they can help.
I always appreciate you giving me an opportunity to do that, Jeff. And yeah, the Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund has been around since probably the mid-90s. It was started by former Attorney General Ed Meese. It's a wonderful organization. I'm humbled to serve as a member of the Board of Directors. And basically what it does, Jeff, is looks at cases where law enforcement officers, whether it's cops or state troopers or federal agents, have been unjustly accused of a crime. We provide material support, meaning financial support, to help officers that have been suspended or fired, to help put food on the table for them and to pay for their litigation costs. And your listeners can go to policedefense.org. That's policedefense.org, and take a look at some of the cases there. And Jeff, thanks as always for backing the blue. Really appreciate your efforts there.
All right. I appreciate you joining us, brother. That is Jimmy Galliano, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI. Some great insight there, don't you think? What does Comey really know? What will really happen to Comey? Oh, and here's a few ideas for that Hoover building on Pennsylvania Avenue in D.C. It is 351, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. Beautiful Monday afternoon. I'm telling you, it's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. You do not need the AC on today. It is just like, I don't know, 78, 80. Very, very low humidity, a little bit of a breeze here and there. Man, just open the windows and enjoy it. Take a moment. Yes, this is the shameless plug for myself. Go.richmond.com/the best. Go.richmond.com/the best. Go on over there and nominate The Jeff Katz Show for the best afternoon radio show. I'd appreciate it. 3D in Hanover hits me up on the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140. Jeff, from some guys I know in Chicago, hey, take him 8 miles out of town and put him 6 feet under. Yep, that's exactly what 86 means. That's exactly what that means in the crime world. You're in the restaurant world, means you're out of something. My brother's a chef. I get it. 86. We don't have it. I'd like the Caesar salad. It's 80. No, it's been 86. We don't have it. Nothing. How about a sandwich? Have a sandwich. Have a sandwich. Okay. Other places, 86 allegedly means replace. All right. I'll take you at your word. But in the world of crime, it means to kill. And this bat crap crazy idea from Comey that he didn't know what it means, well, it's bat crap crazy. 357, Jeff Katz, News Radio.